Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Raptors Rapture Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Raptors Rapture Podcast. Yet another self-isolation slash quarantine edition of the podcast. No Raptors games going on still, except for in Canada, the Raptors playoffs. I think it's game six of the finals tonight. So if you guys want to go watch the Raptors take home the chip yet again, you might as well go watch that tonight. There's no other basketball going on. So this is your time to celebrate once again. I know I'm going to be doing it. But on today's show, just kind of like last week's show, I thought this was a bit of a fun little exercise to do. Get on the mic, start yapping away with someone about their favorite Toronto Raptors. So we've decided that we're going to make a all favorite Raptors team, kind of like the all decade teams or the all NBA teams, but just specifically Raptors and specifically your favorite players. So today I've got Jason Leung from the That's a Wrap podcast to join me. So Jason, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing, my friend?
Good, brother. How you doing? Thank you so much for having me on, man. I'm a huge fan of Raptors Rapture, brother.
Hey,
I'm so glad to finally come on.
Of course, man. I'm very happy to have you. I'm a big fan of yours as well. You guys do some very good work. First and foremost, where can people find you? I like to do this at the beginning of the show so that people, you know, get this out of the way, and then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Well, usually we always are on like the on Twitter, That's a Wrap Pod, and obviously we would have done it, you know, during the season, but there is no season right now, which is fine because, you know, everyone, you know, should be safe. But you can find us at That's a Wrap Pod on Twitter. We also just started a Instagram account, I guess, and you can find us there at That's a Wrap Podcast.
Awesome. So that is definitely a really good follow to have for all your Raptors needs, man. And as always, please make sure to go rate and review our podcast, rate and review Jason's podcast. It's very good stuff. Make sure to subscribe, listen, all that fun stuff. Give some follows on Twitter.
Yes,
to Raptors Rapture and That's a Wrap. So like I said at the top of the show here, Jason, we're going to do our all-time favorite Raptors.
Oh, I'm ready.
Team. So we're going to pick a quick starting five of our favorite players. I'm sure there's going to be some overlap. We're kind of going to shoot the breeze a little bit of each player. We're going to maybe argue. We'll see. Who knows? Yeah. So I think where we're probably going to have the most overlap is the guard section.
Okay. Wait, so, hold up, Hunter. I want to ask you something.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So on your last episode, you talked about how you were basically like a Leafs fan first.
Yeah.
And then you became a Raptors fan.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, what is, before we go into our top five, because I know that we have overlaps, but what was the point, or do you remember the point at which you became a Raptors fan?
Yeah, like I said on that last podcast, if you guys haven't listened to it, it's about how I became a Raptors fan. So thanks for the shout out, Jason. I appreciate that.
On your own podcast.
Yeah, on my own podcast. I would say like that one like real turning point, because like I was always a Raptors fan, you know, just because like naturally like I loved sports growing up, and I, you know, if you're a Toronto sports team, I was automatically your biggest fan kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like where it really turned from like Leafs to Raptors, that it was probably like, I mean, I went to games when I was a kid, and I always loved the atmosphere there. And as a kid, things like being at somewhere and having like an emotional response to something and having a crowd really like influence you, I never had that at Leafs games, and having it at a Raptors game. And I mentioned on the podcast, like there was one time where I went, and because of like the nature of what my mom does, she had a, she got a box for a Raptors game.
Very nice.
So, yeah, exactly. So I went there and it was one of my first Raptors games. And it was like, I don't know, 2 days before my birthday, 2 days after my birthday, something like that. And like all the Raptors people came up and wished me a happy birthday and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this would never happen at a Leafs game. I love this. I love this thing. And like right then and there, like I made her get me a Chris Bosh jersey, like for my birthday present. Sick. Yeah. So like, that was like my main, that was like the main thing that like gave me that emotional connection. And then just like, it's like the fandom just kind of kept growing as
time. But are all your friends like mostly hockey fans or something?
Yeah, like for the most part, cause like a lot of my friends, like I live in a really white neighborhood. And like I went to a really white high school. So like all my friends, it's like soccer and hockey really. But as like we've kind of grown up and like one common thing that we found with each other was like loving the Raptors somehow. Like I kind of like introduced it and brought it to the group and whatnot. And then, you know, as we did it and like,
you were the constant really.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as we hit like legal drinking age, you know, we'd go out and like, that would be our thing, like instead of watching Leafs games, because obviously Raptors games are so much more fun than hockey. Like it's not even close. It's not even close.
Well, that's like high praise, because a lot of Leafs fans would be like, nah, man. Because okay, when it comes to, I have no problem when it comes to the Leafs. I just feel like there shouldn't be an issue when it comes to like fandom. I feel like if you are a Leafs fan, you can also be a Raptors fan.
Absolutely.
You
know what I mean? Absolutely.
And I've never been like a Leafs fan, but all my friends, I don't have one single friend besides like my co-host Jay and Dre. But not, no, my friends growing up, it was either football or hockey, no basketball. I was just that one person in basketball. I was like, I mean, I can be a fan of the Leafs, you know what I mean? But I love Raptors.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like there shouldn't be that like disconnect. But I just think like, I think now, especially the times have changed so much where like, basketball isn't necessarily an afterthought in terms of like Toronto sports, because it was always, you know, the success was always there with, I mean, not in my lifetime for the Leafs, but like there's been success in the past, and like hockey is such a cultural thing here in Canada. So like I'm in the same boat. Like everyone just loves hockey, and it's like, man, yeah, it's kind of cool, but like basketball is just so fun, man. It's just so much more entertaining. That was also one of the reasons why like I switched over to basketball much more than hockey. Is just like, there's always something going on.
When they at least signed Tavares, the first thing I asked my hockey friends, like, okay, give me a Raptors equivalent.
I've started doing that too. Cause like, I can't even, man, like some of my friends are going to hate me for this. Like I can't even remember the last time I watched like a full hockey game. Like I can't even remember it. Yeah. Like I don't even I don't even think like last year's playoffs I watched it. I have no idea. I hope none of my profs from like my school are listening to this, because I'm in like a sport media program.
You're gonna call you out, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. So let's get into this.
Let's do it.
And we'll start with the guards, like I said. So like it doesn't have to be a point guard, doesn't have to be a shooting guard. Well, I mean it does, but like there's no like it has to be one of each. So I'll let you go first with your first guard, your first all favorite Raptors guard.
My all favorite Raptors guard, and I want to say he is my all time favorite player of, you know, Raptor fandom, is Alvin Williams. He played 8 seasons with Toronto Raptors, played 417 games. He was kind of the Kyle Lowry before Kyle Lowry was there. You know, he played tough. He played through injury, never backed down on any opponent or any big moment. And, you know, during that 1999-2002 playoff run, there was, of course, Antonio Davis and Vince Carter and bigger names. But Alvin Williams was kind of the silent assassin in the background. And he also led the way during that very first playoff series against New York in 2001. And in game 5, he hit that huge dagger in the final minute to put the Knicks away. And watching a whole bunch of, you know, highlights to get ready for this pod, that prior to that shot, Williams actually fumbled the ball. And then Vince picked up the basketball. He got double teamed. Vince looked at Alvin, passed it to him for an open shot. And think about like fumbling the basketball and being shook at that moment, and then realizing that, oh, I have to make this shot because there's like 3 seconds left in the game, in the shot clock. And then hitting that in a playoff while Spike Lee is like yelling at you. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And I think like for me, I kind of gravitate towards athletes that are aren't as athletically gifted, quote unquote. I mean, Alvin is definitely a professional athlete, but he wasn't like the fastest or couldn't jump the highest, like, you know, players like today. He just played with so much heart and toughness, which rubbed off the team. And he was a good example of being a professional. And even what he does now with like Sportsnet, and he's still close with the team, with a connection with Lowry, of course. So to me, I think the Raptors, like in the past, he represented the first successful playoff run for the Raptors. So that's why he's so important to me.
Yeah, you know what? I had him just like on my short list of my guards. Like Alvin Williams, like I loved Alvin Williams and what he does now, obviously for Sportsnet, and like how he really does have such a presence in the media with the Raptors now. But the reason I did kind of leave him out was, you know, I was born in 98, like his like heydays were
98,
kind of,
yeah, dear Lord.
so his heydays were kind of like,
yeah, I
was,
I hear
like,
you, for
I was
sure.
Like 4 or 5, you know what I mean? Like I always heard of Alvin Williams when I was growing up, and like back in the day, like when, you know, around that time, like I didn't really know what, like YouTube wasn't really around that much. It wasn't so prevalent. Like I didn't really know how to find any highlights of him. So it was tough for me to add him to my list, but he was always like, he was just on the outside with guys like, you know, Jose Calderon, Mo Pete, Davis Vasquez somehow made that list.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I can't.
Yo, that's shimmy. It's all about that shimmy. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's it. but you know, like from everything that like I've watched from now and like him at the kind of the tail end of his Raptors career, I always loved him. Yeah. Like he was a hard worker. He was always so serious on the court, but you could tell he was, you know, a guy that was a good locker room presence, and
so
that was
humble.
And that's always something you'd like in a basketball player. You don't always want them to be out there. Obviously you want them having fun, but you don't want them out there, you know, just kind of joking around and not taking the game serious. So
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like 98 is young, but I mean, I'm not too much older than you. I'm 89, baby. And so when I was like around 10 years old, 11 years old, when I watched this playoff run, and I remember it kind of, but that's where it started for me. And looking back, if you look back at the team, you have like huge characters. VC, obviously, you got Antonio Davis, you got Charles Oakley, you got Muggsy Bogues, you got Mo Pete on the bench, and you have all these like characters, but on the helm of it, you have Alvin Williams, who kind of like steers the ship. And how Kyle Lowry does it now, he's more of a, he definitely plays with, you know, with his heart on his sleeve, but he also like chirps a lot and he'll yell at you and everything. I feel like Alvin, he has all of that in him, but he also kind of knows how to lead a whole bunch of characters. And I feel like that leadership is what really I gravitated towards.
Yeah, no, I love that pick. I love that pick, Alvin Williams. So nice. onto my first guard pick. This guy is, you said that Alvin Williams is probably your favorite, you know, guard position Raptor of all time. I'm going to go with my favorite pretty much player in the NBA currently right now, and probably my favorite Raptor of all time. And this one is DeMar DeRozan.
Nice.
I feel like this one is a pretty like obvious pick.
That's my second pick.
Yeah. So we can chat about this one a little bit.
For sure.
This one, like, he's obviously, like I said, he's my favorite player in the NBA right now. He was the first real like star player to actually want to stay in Toronto. So I think that like that just puts him ahead of so many other people, just because he did have the talent and he did want to stay. You know, his intro was Mr. I Am Toronto, right? Like that is that's one of the most like the coolest introductions you could have. Him combined with Lowry, like they made a perfect romance that wasn't just like acknowledged in Canada and in Toronto, but as the team was doing better and better and succeeding more and winning 50 games year after year after year, it was getting recognized by like national media, which you know, when something that small kind of gets noticed by like the Bleacher Reports and House of Highlights of the world, like that is it's not something small. And I think like it even gained more attention from the Raptors, and like we've even seen his like personality come out more with the Raptors. And then even now, you know, he's kind of hopping on people's Instagram lives, like Raptors Instagram lives during
IG live, man.
Exactly.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. So like he's just like a perfect, I would say Raptor for the, for Toronto. Like, he's a perfect player for Toronto. He had, you know, there was always five or six just like all-time dunks that he had every single year, whether it's a poster or, you know, 360. And he's just like, to me, a really good representation of what the Raptors were. And he was a really good person to have as like kind of the face of the franchise for like quite a few years during our prime.
Oh man, it's the amount of respect I have for Debo is crazy. Cause yeah, like everything you said is correct. I mean, he played nine seasons with Toronto, 675 games. He leads the franchise in games, minutes played, field goals, free throws made, 3,539 free throws made, and he's a franchise leader in points with 13,296. And that doesn't look like that's gonna be surpassed anytime soon either. And like you said, man, he's like, as I think as a player, he gets a lot of crap for like the mid range and everything like that. And he maybe doesn't have the best playoff runs, but I think as a Raptor, he's one of the best to wear the uniform. But as a person and as a character, that's what I respect him the most. Like, he gets, I think Toronto has a bad rep of having the inferiority complex, thinking that players don't want to play in Toronto. But if you think about it, Bosch and VC signed their extensions here, so which is kind of funny. But Debo, he not only did he want to play in Toronto, but I feel like he wanted to finish his career as a Raptor, you know? And loyalty is such a fickle thing when it comes to the NBA now. You were like, 3 years is a long time. And you don't get these players who want to stay with one franchise anymore, even through the thick and thin, you know what I mean? So like, and of course you can't really forget like his huge voice with the mental health community too. And his two most popular tweets or most effective tweets is one, the I got us tweet after Bosch left, and the one about his depression. So he's made a lot of like loyal fans by just being himself, you know. And as a Raptor, I think I appreciate what he's done, and I believe his jersey will be retired one day, but I appreciate him more as a man, what he represented as a Raptor.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I couldn't have put it any better myself, to be honest. And you mentioned that I got us tweet. I actually, I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that, 3 years ago, obviously before he got traded. I like ironed on that tweet onto like one of my shirts. Like, you know how you can
way, that's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So nice. I did one of those and I have no idea where the shirt is. I literally have no idea. Yeah. So maybe I'll, you know, I've got a lot
how
of time.
Did you? Okay, so how did you feel when you heard the news that DeMar was going to be traded? Like, what was your first initial? Don't even think about, even if it was Kawhi or anybody else, like, who cares about who we got, who traded for? The fact that DeMar got traded, what was your initial thought?
I was pissed, man. Like, even, like, knowing that it was Kawhi, like, I was very upset. Like, me and my buddies are, like, literally, like, the same guys that I watch, like, every Raptors playoff game with, and, like, pretty much like every Raptors game with somehow we watched together. Like, we were just like in the group chat. Like, we woke up, so we all had like internships around that time, and we were all like waking up early. So we got the news, like, and the first one to text me, like, one of my buddies, Callum, he goes, "Yo, like, did you just see what just happened?" And I was like, "What the hell is this guy talking about? Like, I don't even know what this guy's talking about." And then I saw like on my Twitter that, like, I got a Twitter notification that like Woj just tweeted something, and I'm like, all right, it's probably got to be something to do with it. Got to be something to do with this. So I go and I check Twitter, and it's, you know, reports are DeMar DeRozan's getting traded from the Raptors for Kawhi Leonard. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me right now. And DeMar DeRozan, of all people, you're going to trade? Like, I was even like, I was just so mad. I knew it was Kawhi. I knew Kawhi was, you know, a top three MVP candidate. And I was like, no way this guy just got traded. And I was probably upset for, you know, like 2-3 weeks before I kind of like came to my senses and was like, yeah, this is honestly probably a good thing. But like, I was really upset.
But yeah, that's like the connection that he made with the fan base. Right. And it's not like he, let's be real. Like, if you think back, DeMar isn't the bet, like, he's not going to be the number one option to a championship team, but just the fact that he was so, I guess, involved with the fan base, like, and anything he could do, he went out of his way to want to rep Toronto and want to rep the Raptors, and we've never had that before. So I think that's why like myself, I was also upset too, even thinking that it was Kawhi. But I also think that it's because we didn't really watch Kawhi. You know, he's in the Western Conference, and when it comes to DeMar, I mean, like nine seasons, we literally got to watch this kid grow up, and like he made a family here. He grew up to become such a building a foundation here. He went through losing and winning, and like you got to watch this kid. And then one day, he's not a Raptor anymore, you know. And it doesn't look like he's going to be a Raptor. Any, I don't think so. I don't think he's ever going to sign back here. But I think I'm in the same page as you. Like I was pretty upset, and then obviously I know the ramifications of the trade and how, why it needed to be done. But like DeMar has to be one of the best Raptors ever, just because of him as a person.
Absolutely, and I also was pretty upset about it, because like obviously, like you mentioned, like you saw him develop into this, not only a great player, but like a really good person off the court, and his media ability was so much better after the nine seasons with the Raptors. But also like the team was, you know, developing around him, obviously, and Kyle Lowry and like JV and all those people. But like the core was Lowry and DeMar. And I didn't think that I was going to be able to get over the fact of like not really being able to watch those two play together anymore, because they were obviously the most successful pair in like Raptors franchise history up until the point, and like they still pretty much are. So like, you know, I just thought once he left, like it, I obviously totally underrated Kyle Lowry and the development team of the Raptors and Kawhi, but I was like, all right, well, there goes 50 wins every single year. Like there goes the two or three seed every year.
Right.
Which obviously I am very wrong about.
I mean, so was like, you know, 90% of the fan base. So it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'll move on to my next guard. And, and this one, I mentioned the guys I left off, right? Like Jose, Mo Pete, Grievous Vasquez. You had Alvin Williams, who was also on my list. But I had to go with Kyle Lowry here.
Yeah, of course. You got it. He's not on my list, but I would definitely, he's on my short list for sure.
Yeah. And I think like just the thing is, you know, he probably is like, it's probably between him and DeMar DeRozan of who's like the best Raptor of all time, I would say. I know like obviously there's the argument for Kawhi because the 1 year, there's the argument for Vince, or you know, there's a slight argument for Chris Bosh, but I think it really does come down to those two. And I would have felt wrong if I had DeRozan on this list without Kyle Lowry, just because
I hear you.
Those two kind of go hand in hand, right? Like I mentioned the bromance, but like they also kind of defined what the Raptors are today, and like how the most successful part of the franchise history like has pretty much just been based around Kyle Lowry's play style, which is just like so gritty and hardworking and real tough. And you know, like you said with DeMar, like we've seen Kyle Lowry grow as an NBA player, as a person, and it feels like he's been here through everything positive that has occurred with the Toronto Raptors. So like every single thought that I have with Kyle Lowry, like no matter how many times people say he's not a good playoff performer, or how many times he goes 0-for-10 in a game every now and then. I always just have like positive feelings towards him.
Oh man. Kalo, he's going to be the first, it should be the first Raptor jersey to be retired. Like he's definitely the best Raptor ever. But I also love, I guess the story that comes with Kyle Lowry, because like he wasn't even our first option. We wanted to get Steve Nash when to sign. And then so when Steve Nash decided to go to the Lakers, then we were like, okay, Colangelo was like, let's get Kyle Lowry. And then Kyle Lowry didn't even want to stay here for more than a year. He was gonna leave after the second year or something like that. And then he decided that, you know what? Let's do this. Where I guess Masai kind of talked to him and said, do you want to be that player that keeps on jumping around? And then now look at him, right? Like I understand that there's a whole bunch of animosity when it comes to Kyle Lowry, but that's just who he is, I think, and that's what he shows on the court as well. And like how many players that you can mention now that are still in the league that is his physique, you know?
Yeah,
and
no, 100%.
I think him and like maybe Chris Paul. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's just so smart. I think that's what he, you know, that's his, I guess, superpower when it comes on the basketball court. Like, he just knows what to do at what moment. He understands the basketball game, and he understands his players too. Like, every year it's either, okay, I'm going to get DeMar to get going. I'm going to get my bench to get going. I'm going to get Kawhi to get his shots. And now it's like, okay, now I'm going to get my own now. And like, not many players are going to rearrange their own game in order for the team to be successful. So like, there, you have to take the bad with the good with Kyle. There's a lot of like the media stuff that he goes through, but that's just him, right? If you want him to be that tenacity, that bulldog on the court, you have to take it also off the court. You know what I mean? And I like, same thing with DeMar. Like you said, him being a family man now, and like, you saw him being like that grumpy, like, you know, player in the beginning, and now he's like, I'm gonna support everything when it comes to my teammates. Like, you love that. You love that kind of stuff. And Kyle Lowry is definitely one of those players that if you don't have him on your team and he's on the if you're playing against him, you absolutely hate him. He's on the short list of the person you just want to punch in the face. But the fact that he's on our team, man, I love it, man.
Absolutely. And like, people hate to say this and give Lowry credit, but like, he is, over the past, like, pretty much since he's been a Raptor, and more so the past like 5 or 6 years, like, he's been, if not a top five point guard in the league, like, at, mm-hmm. you know, top 6, 7. I feel like Bill Simmons just like naming out random numbers here for this guy, but like, you know, he's just like, he's one of the best point guards in the league. And like, he's not the flashiness of Kyrie Irving or like the LeBron kind of giving him credit like Chris Paul or whatever, but he is as good as those guys, or at least as effective. Like, he's obviously not as skilled as a Kyrie Irving or like a Trae Young or whatever in the recent days, but like, he is just as effective, if not more effective. And he just knows how to win. He goes seems to be a winning team. And like, there's always those first, like, there's always those like 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks where Kyle Lowry is like a top five player in the league. You know what I mean? Where he's averaging like 30 points a game, shooting like 62% from three or something like that.
Averaging 10 assists or something like that. Something different.
Exactly. Yeah. And those are always the most fun parts of the season to watch. When you see Kyle Lowry have a 35 point game, it's the most fun to watch, because he's doing everything. He's hitting mid-range jumpers. He's mm-hmm. getting to the basket. He's hitting deep pull-up threes. He's making really nice passes, nice reads, but then he's also playing the really good defense that a lot of these high scoring guards don't play. And that just, whenever Kyle Lowry has a good game, it seems like the Raptors just have to win, because
it changes. Yeah. It changes everything.
Exactly. Because that's just players, what he does.
Players like Serge Ibaka, he's like feasting down low because of Kyle Lowry. Players like Fred VanVleet is making a name for himself, obviously because he's skilled, but he's having to learn under Kyle Lowry is incredible. And I think that even with DeMar, like, I think DeMar is a great player, but without a point guard and allowing you to kind of flourish with, you know, the what you have, I think a lot of DeMar's success kind of also definitely comes from Kyle Lowry too.
Man, I totally agree. So those are our four guards that we chose. We were the same with DeMar DeRozan. I was Kyle Lowry. You were Alvin Williams. So now let's
basically
move,
the same. It's basically the same. Alvin Williams, Kyle Lowry, the same.
Exactly. So now let's move on to our forward section. So you know, it could be a small forward, power forward, two power forwards, two small forwards, whatever you want. So you can start us off here with your first.
So we're probably going to be the same in this one. And I think it might be cheating a little bit, because he could play a guard, but Vince Carter, when he was here, I think he played like small forward, I guess. So that's why I chose him. 7 seasons with the Raptors, played 403 games, franchise leader in points per game, which is 23.4. And I guess no matter what, if you're a fan of Vince Carter or you want nothing to do with Vince Carter because you think he quit on a team, you can't really dismiss the fact that he literally put Toronto on the NBA map. Like, do you really think if it wasn't for Vince Carter that the NBA would know about the Raptors back then? Or if it would still be in Toronto. I don't know. It's arguable. But you can't help the fact that he was arguably the face of this generation of players coming out of Toronto, let alone in Canada, right? Like, Vince Carter's prime, but his popularity came in that dunk contest in gold. I think it was California Golden State in 2000 dunk contest.
I think so.
And it's still one of the most watched dunk contests on YouTube. And what I remember the most, as a fan of the Raptors is, of course, Vince Carter and the through the legs and the 360 elbow in the rim, of course, all of that. But the jersey that he was wearing didn't say Raptors. It's the Toronto. And each time you watch a highlight, he's wearing a jersey, one of the best jerseys, I might add, for the Raptors with Toronto on the front. And I don't fault you for not believing Vince when he said he wanted to stop the trade prior to Grunwald trading him to New Jersey for like nothing. But all in all, I think his jersey should be in the Raptors. Not because of how he left, of course, but because what he did when he was a Raptor. So my first forward has to be Vince Carter.
So I actually am going to differ from you here.
Okay.
I don't have Vince Carter on my list. That's not to say that I don't, you know, understand the impact that he had. Obviously, like he was a fun player to watch during the times. I just do think that the last season of him being here, basically saying he's not going to dunk anymore. And, you know, like he said, obviously, like, oh yeah, I wanted to stop the trade, whatever. Like, I, as much as he can say that, and as much as he, as good as he was here, you know, he the way he left to me does leave, you know, some sort of distaste in my mouth. I do love Vince Carter. I'm not one of those people who thinks that he left and he should never have his jersey in the Raptors, because I think he should. I don't think it should be before, you know, Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan, but he should be the next man up. He should have his jersey in the Raptors. I think he is one of the best Raptors of all time. He is probably, you know, the second most talented Raptor of all time, I would say, for his time being here. He was a scoring machine. He was probably the most fun Raptor to watch as a whole. And I know all these things make it seem like I want him on my list, but he was like, he was just on the short list, just outside of my forward spot. But
I think when it came to Carter, he was like the hot ticket when it came to, I guess, you know, in American cities, like everyone wanted to watch him outside of, you know, the city that they were playing for, and like ESPN, SportsCenter, they were putting Vince Carter highlights. And that was back when, I guess, you know, Toronto was known for only for either the Leafs or the Jays. And Vince Carter was one of the biggest reasons why Toronto became so popular in like jersey sales and like memorabilia, and like and it was because of Vince Carter. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there is a whole bunch of, you know, what if Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady stayed, but it's just a completely different time. And I mean, again, I don't fault you for not having Vince Carter in your top five. Like, that's, everybody is, you know, subjected to their own thoughts. But I just feel like you can't have a Raptors team without thinking about Vince Carter. Vince Carter is one of the most electric players when he was playing during his prime, man.
Yeah. So I do agree with that. Like, he was electric. He was a big reason for Toronto being on the map. To me though, it did feel like, for the most part, especially when he was at like the peak of his powers, it seemed like he was a separate entity from the Raptors. Like, there was Vince Carter, and then there was the Raptors, because like you said, like the media coverage was only about Vince Carter. There was top 10 Vince Carter plays as a, you know, there was top 10 Vince Carter plays when he was a Raptor, but it was never, you know, top 10 Vince Carter plays as a Raptor. It was just top 10 Vince Carter plays, top 10 Vince Carter dunks in the year. And it was never like you said, that it did have the Toronto on the front, but if it weren't for that, you probably wouldn't have known that he would have played for the Raptors, just because it was so much just about Vince Carter, which is probably, you know, a good case for him to be on a list like this. But at the same time, it to me, it just seems like a divided entity between him and the Raptors. Like, it's Vince Carter on one side,
maybe,
and then there's the Raptors. Yeah.
I think maybe when it comes to Vince Carter, it was more of like the showcase of the player. And when it comes to like the games and stuff, I remember it kind of sucks to think about. I remember more about the negative side of, like, when the fact that he got injured so many times, and he wasn't like the whole I don't want to dunk anymore, and he wanted to get traded and all that stuff. And not only that, but when he got traded, he killed us every time. Exactly. Every time when he got a chance. So I get that, but I'm not going to dismiss the fact that he was the reason one of the biggest reasons why Toronto was so popular back then too.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, like you said, he always killed the Raptors when he came back to Toronto or played us again. Like, I think it would have been a different story if, like, after he left the Raptors, his, like, best years were kind of behind him, which they were to an extent. But he was also, like, he was still really good on the Nets with, you know, Jason Kidd and stuff like that. So, like, it's kind of – it's tough to – like, it's – he still had, obviously, a very long career afterwards – where he has had a lot of success and whatnot. So yeah. I'd like, you know, maybe if he was, you know, garbage after getting traded, I wouldn't feel the same way. But since
yeah, he's the epitome of like watching your ex like glow up so hard.
exactly, man. So I'll move on to my first forward here. And right. And mine is like, I don't know how I feel about this one, but it's Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross.
Yeah.
Is it just because of the Kenneth Faried dunk, man?
So I did actually write that down.
Wow.
Because that is one of my, you know, favorite dunks ever. That's like
that was nasty. Yeah, that was the most nastiest dunk I've ever seen.
Every time I watch it, I still think that like he's not gonna dunk it somehow. Like that the first time I watched it or the last time I watched it, like the video was edited so that he still actually dunked it. And I feel like he's just going to get blocked or something or like get it off the rim or whatever, get fouled. But like,
it's also, like when someone edited DeMar DeRozan 360 against China and exactly. He actually made it. Yeah. I saw that.
Exactly. Oh, but like, you know, he was also like the first Raptor that I ever saw get a 50 piece, right? Like I knew Vince Carter did it, but like I said, like I'm a youngin. So like, I didn't really get to watch that. I just saw the highlights of Vince Carter getting 50. And like, it was honestly so fun to watch someone that you like were rooting for score 50 and like not have it come up on SportsCenter or like Sportsnet Central or whatever, but like to actually be watching the game. And like, to me, him getting hot, like as a Raptor was one of the most entertaining things to watch as a Raptors fan for like 5 or 6 years on, you know, as a fan. And like, he would get this irrational confidence where he would just like jack up threes and he would make horrible decisions on the offensive end and like wouldn't really try on defense. And it would be so frustrating. But at the same time, like he would go like 5 of 8 from 3 and a quarter. And you'd just be like, oh my God, this guy's the best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah. And so, I was at that game. I think it was versus the Clippers when he dropped a 51 piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was nasty. And I know that we lost that game, but like when they gave it to Ross and he was just feeling it and he like jacked up like 3 or 4 from way downtown and he got it. Like that was a very electric game to watch. And I've always respected Terrence Ross. I think he was on that cusp all the time. He was almost like the in the same level of Norman Powell for me. Like it was always like, just I need you to get to that next level and then you'll be there, right? But I don't know, Terrence Ross just never surmounted to being that player. Like he would be hot at some points and you feel like unstoppable, especially with his three-pointers going down. And then like even that Vince Carter tribute dunk contest too, that was pretty cool. Like I've always respected Terrence Ross. I just don't think that he would, like he's in the Mo Pete Anthony Parker kind of tier for me.
All right, I feel that. I can feel that. Okay, so if I were to ask you, like, in the 5 seasons that Terrence Ross played for the Raptors, I don't want you to look it up, how many, like, what do you think his like average points per game was?
I want to say in the teens, maybe like 14.
Okay, so like that's where I was as well, because I always thought T. Ross averaged a decent amount of points. It's only 9.5.
Interesting.
It's 9.5 points. He never averaged more than like 11 points a game with the Raptors.
Wow. But that's the thing. Like he would always get hot with like he dropped a 51 piece and sometimes he would get 23 and 24 or something, but then he would kind of cool off and then for like 5 games or like 7 points. And then I distinctly remember Leo saying Terrence Rush just needs to get hot. He just needs to get going, you know? Like,
yeah.
And yeah, that's, I wish it wasn't like that. I wish it was Terrence Ross, be consistent with 14 points per night, you know?
Yeah.
Like, be better than, I don't know, Joey Graham or something. I just, you know, but yeah, I like Terrence Ross. He's not up there for me, but I'm glad that someone is pointing him out though.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, it always felt like Terrence Ross was like doing more than what he was actually doing. Like I always felt like he was shooting like 45% from three, but he wasn't. I always thought he was averaging like 15, 16 points a game, but he wasn't. Like I just kind of felt that way about him. I had the like irrational confidence towards him that he also had like towards himself.
Yeah.
Which just like obviously wasn't the case.
I hear you. I mean, he's doing okay in Orlando right now too. Like,
yeah,
he's not the focal point, but I mean, he does like put up, I don't know. I'm not even researching his numbers, but I think he's playing pretty well there.
Yeah. Yeah. He like, and I think it was more like the entertainment value that he brought to a team. And like, you know, they were still kind of in their winning games and whatnot. And like, you know, just having him out there and like possibly throwing down 30 and like a nasty dunk was always just like fun to watch.
Yeah. I'll always watch that Kenneth Reed dunk. 100%. That was nasty. Like 100%. It's either that, like DeMar's dunk over Mozgov and Terrence over Kenneth Reed. Those are like one A, one B for me.
Yeah, I agree, man. All right. You want to give us your second forward here?
Sure thing. Second forward for me is, and I think it might be controversial too, and I don't know why a lot of people don't have him on more lists, but I want to say Chris Bosch. And for me, he's the seven seasons with Toronto, 509 games, franchise leader for offensive, defensive, and total rebounds, 4,776, also with blocks at 600. For Bosch, his era is where I kind of grew up watching and mostly loving the Raptors. It wasn't the most successful era, but that was when the Raptors finally made it back into the playoffs, one of which they had to play the friggin' New Jersey Nets and Vince Carter, of course. And do you remember, I don't know if you remember that season, but like, do you remember when the Raptors PR decided to like put give out free red t-shirts in the stands, but the Raptors were wearing white and then the New Jersey Nets were wearing red. It looked really weird. I was like, guys, what are you doing? But for me, like this is what I've said this a lot before in previous pods, but like I always remember being, this is in high school when the, I guess, which year was it? I think it was like 2006. Anyways, so in high school, I remember being in the library and I saw, I guess, what, like, you know, one of the Toronto Stars or Canada Post or something like that. And this was when the Raptors were going back in the playoffs versus the Vince Carter. And the thing is, you would think now it would be like the Raptors going back to the playoffs. That would be the first page, right? But in the first page of the freaking newspaper, when the Raptors were going back to the playoffs, was a huge section of Leafs goalie at the time. I think it was Andrew Raycroft. And the line was why Raycroft wasn't successful this year or something like that. And on the top right corner on like page number 9 or something, the Raptors are heading back to the playoffs. And that pissed me off so much because the Raptors are going back to the playoffs and the first thing you're going to show is Andrew Raycroft. Good Lord. Good Lord. So I can't believe the underdog feeling. That was the Chris Bosh era, was that underdog feeling, right? That's what I loved about that era, I guess. I was always that underdog. And I know we weren't successful, but, you know, it was because of a lot of terrible trades or a lot of terrible draft picks too. But Bosch kind of played through all of that and he represented Toronto the best he could. Like, Toronto was a good stepping stone for Bosch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before he became the best third option in Miami. But, you know, as like a untraditional, unorthodox lefty shooter who played forward and center because of his height, like he definitely kind of did everything the best that he could with what he had. And that's what Chris Bosh was for me. Like, I watched him struggle as a fan. I struggled with him. And I have a connection with that era. And that's why I put Chris Bosh as my second forward.
Yeah, so I also had Chris Bosh there as my second forward as
well.
Nice. And the biggest thing was, this guy was just like, to me, it was just like purely skill and talent for having him on there, because like watching him play, he's not the biggest guy. He's not going to out. I mean, you know, he's like 6'10" or something like that. So obviously he is one of the biggest guys, but he's not this huge muscular dude. He's got kind of like, he's a little bit like bulkier than like Chris Boucher when he was with the Raptors,
right.
isn't a big guy, but the way that he was playing, you know, averaging like more than 20 points a game in the post and like not really shooting threes, even though he definitely could have shot threes, and just being like the anchor for, you know, like you said, a struggling team, like not a very good basketball team. And like the only reason the Raptors made the playoffs while he was there was him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
obviously, 100%. Obviously there were other players on the team who were half decent, but there's absolutely 0% chance that, they do anything without Chris Bosh. And he performed well in the playoffs. Like, obviously they didn't get past anything beyond the first round while he was here, but he was a really good player, and he was one of the best players in the league and one of the best big men in the league while he was with us. And then, you know, you can't blame him for wanting to go play with Dwayne Wade and LeBron, right? Like,
he's definitely like the Chris Bosh Toronto era is that high school kid trying to get by. And then when Chris Bosh Miami is that, like, he glowed up and he went to college and like got all the girls or guys.
Absolutely.
That's what happened.
That's a great analogy.
And Chris Bosh also, like, he played with what, Andrea Bargnani as a second option, like an aging Jermaine O'Neal, Hedo Turkoglu, Jamario Moon. Like, what kind of players are you gonna do? And then he made it to the playoffs still. Like, I do not blame Chris Bosh for wanting to play with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Absolutely not. And this also, like, this guy was, I'm looking at his basketball reference page right here. The only time he played less than 35 minutes as a Raptor was his rookie season. And that's just you know, it goes to show, like, he is just, you know, like, so effective as a player, and he would, you know, put his whole body out on the line for the Raptors, despite not having the biggest of bodies out there for his position. But yeah, man, he was such a treat to watch for Raptors fans. And like, people, if you don't remember how good Chris Bosh is, and you think like me and Jay here are kind of going a bit over the line and talking out of our asses here about Chris Bosh as a Raptor, man, like, go watch. If you just remember Chris Bosh on the Miami Heat as the third guy, as the guy who got the rebound and kicked it out to Ray Allen, you gotta go watch some Chris Bosh highlights. Like, it's nothing flashy, but the guy was unbelievable. The guy was unbelievable. And I absolutely, I loved him.
The fourth pick of one of arguably the best draft pick of NBA history. Like, he was a Raptor, you know? Like, and he also, like, looked like a Raptor. He looked like a dinosaur, too. You know what I mean?
And also, like, his off-the-court personality was unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like, his off-the-court personality was so good, and he was an all-star, you know, in every year but his first 2 years, I think it was, with the Raptors. And like, he was just the epitome of like a fun player and an enjoyable player to watch, I think.
Do you remember when he did like that Texas I don't know ad for to get into the playoff or to get into the All-Star game?
Yeah, right, man.
I was like, what are you doing? But that's who he was, man. He was like a jokester, and he was a Raptor for it, and like, I loved everything that he did on and off the court.
Yeah, and I just wish that at the time, like, I think he could have become like one of those like fan favorites, not only in Toronto but like across the league, if the team was just a little bit more successful. Like, maybe if they made the playoffs, or like, even if like Instagram and Twitter were, you know, as popular around back then, where like he could have his videos out there and he would probably be the most entertaining guy on an Instagram or something like that.
I think
if he was at his prime right now in Toronto.
I definitely think so too. Like, think about all the players that are coming up now. They're giant, they're 7 foot, they're lengthy, and they can shoot. That's Chris Bosh,
you know? Man.
And they're on and they're making their TikToks and their Instagram. That's Chris Bosh. Like, he was like, he was born in the wrong era for 100%. Basketball.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think literally, like, if he came into the NBA in, you know, 2015 instead of 2003, like, this guy would be an MVP candidate 100%, 100%. Single year.
Don't tell me don't tell me like the DeAndre Ayton is better than Chris Bosh.
Yeah, let's be real.
If it was this, you know, last 5 years, Chris Bosh would go number one overall.
Absolutely. And I didn't have this guy on my forwards list because I obviously had Chris Bosh and Terrence Ross, but I want to shout out Amir Johnson on this one.
Yes.
I think Amir deserves a lot of love from Raptors fans. I think like the whole Raptors community and the whole Raptors fan base as a whole, like, just loves Amir Johnson. I have not met a single Raptors fan who has, like, ever shit talked Amir Johnson.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That whole Young Guns, the Amir, DeMar, and Sonny Weems, that Absolutely. Was one of my favorite eras. And he was like the big brother of it all, you know?
100%.
Yeah, I loved Amir.
Yeah, and like he was in that Bargnani era, like he was kind of the only thing that kept Raptors fans like interested and engaged for a little bit. Like,
so true. That's so sad.
Like, he wasn't necessarily like the most talented or the best guy, but like he would bring home like at least two offensive, like fun offensive rebounds a game.
Yeah.
He'd jump into the crowd, whatever. And there's that one moment, I think it was 2014 when the Raptors played the Nets in the first round, when he twisted his ankle like early in the game or something like that. And then came back.
Yeah.
And he put up like 20 and 10 or something like that in the game. And that was always,
he reminds me a lot of, like if they put any Raptor equivalent now, he's like the hustle man chap. He's Rondé Hollis.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Neither of them can shoot, but they both hustle.
Yeah. I totally agree. And like, he had a whole relationship with the Raptors fandom that like you would expect from maybe like a star player or like close to a star player. But, you know, Amir Johnson obviously wasn't ever that, but he did have that connection with fans. So I didn't.
Have you seen his new tattoo on his head?
No.
He has a enormous, I think he was on IG Live with, I think it was DeMar actually. Yeah. DeMar and Rudy Gay called Amir. And then they were like, yo, let me see your new tattoo. And then so he didn't show it because he had hair, but then DeMar showed like pictures of it, and it's literally all around his dome. Like the entire head is covered in tattoos now. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
What a weird man. Speaking but yeah, shout out Amir.
Yeah. Speaking of his head, he was the one who got like the raptor claw shaved into his head.
Yeah. Right? That was in the playoff run.
Yeah.
He like sprayed it red and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you gotta love a guy who'll do that, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Love a guy who'll do that. All right, yo. So we'll move on to our last group here. And that's going to be the center position.
Okay. I want to know if we're on the same page, because I feel like thinking about the list that you gave me, I feel like he would be on the list. So I'm going to go with JV. Do you have the same?
I wanted to have JV so bad because JV is probably my favorite Raptors center. But I did go with someone else. We'll talk JV and then we'll go. Yeah.
So JV, 7 seasons with Toronto, played 470 games, franchise leader in defensive rebound and total rebound percentage. When JV was drafted in 2011, he was allowed to stay 1 year in Lithuania before joining the team in 2012. And from the jump, he was the lovable big man that literally we watched him become this 19-year-old skinny kid that turned into a 7-foot giant. And like, even as a big guy, you kind of always rooted for him because he was so lovable, right? He was so good with the fans and the media. He was so funny. Like, and he, you know, he made mistakes like all human beings. And what I enjoyed most about JV was he was willing to change his game for the betterment of the team. And I thought his progression from like the kid who can just like tip the ball in here and there to someone who could, he legitimately had a shot from the three. It was really, really fun to watch. And I don't, you know, let me put this straight. I don't think the Raptors could have won last year's 2019 championship with JV instead of Marc Gasol. But I do believe JV could have developed into a player like Marc Gasol. Like, his progression into a passing big man was happening because, you know, his dribbling wasn't there yet, but he was shooting from a little bit further. And the one thing that he didn't have was passing. So I think outside of maybe like Antonio Davis, I think JV is our best center we've ever had.
Yeah. I totally wholeheartedly agree with that. The one thing that I will say, and the reason I left him off my list, is because there were countless times where I just became so violently upset, not upset with JV, but like, so like violently, like angry at like something JV did. And like, for whatever reason, I always like, you know, he was kind of just like the third wheel to the, to like the Kyle Lowry and DeMar.
Yeah.
And I was always just like, man, like it's like, we mentioned Chris Bosh, like it's kind of like how Chris Bosh got treated in Miami. Like he was kind of the scapegoat. Like,
yeah,
that's how, that's kind of how I treated JV in his time here.
Him and Dwayne were kind of the same boat.
Yeah.
Like, what, if everyone was wrong, it was either JV or Dwayne.
Exactly.
It was one of the two.
Exactly. And so I was like, man, like, JV did this. That's the reason we lost his game. And it obviously wasn't, but you know, I love JV. And another reason I left him off was because, like, I think one of my favorite like personal moments with JV, like his like connection to the Raptors fans and whatnot, happened when he wasn't a Raptor. You know, like last year's playoff run, he came in and watched the team.
Yeah.
I think it was either the first or second round. But he was sitting courtside and he was there to kind of like root on his boys and root on his friends and stuff like that. So like that was amazing for me, but like it being my favorite moment with JV and it not being with him, like technically as a Toronto Raptor, that's where I kind of drew the line there.
That's fair. I don't like, it's kind of slim pickings when it comes to the centers. I'm thinking back, we got Amir was a center, Antonio Davis obviously was a center, but he wasn't replayed very long. Rasho Nesterovic center, Andre Bagnani sometimes was a center. Like there's not really much of a, you know, slim pickings there. So that's why I chose JV. I know like, you know, you can make an argument with Marc Gasol, and of course I think Marc Gasol is a better player than JV, even at this time, not even in his prime. But I feel like, you know, when it comes to the most enjoyable player I love as it comes to a center position for the Raptors, it has to be JV for me.
Yeah. I love that pick, and like JV was a, like the closest thing to a number two. Like he would have been 1B for me for sure.
Nice.
Okay. But like you said, like, you know, you did mention like the slim picking. Like I also had like Bismack kind of as my short list. Like these are all like, these are all like big drop-offs from JV, but like Bismack, just like that one playoff run was so fun. Like I don't think I've ever been more excited for a rebound than a Bismack Biyombo rebound. Like that's kind of why I loved him. Obviously, like you mentioned Marc Gasol, I'll say Serge Ibaka in there as well. Like he is, especially now, like he has just turned into this, just like such media savvy guy. And he's becoming so connected with Raptors fans, and him saying this weekend or this past week, I forget what day it is. He said like he wants to stay in Toronto when his contract's over and all this stuff. And he's kind of taking on that role as loving the city as much as he does. So he's in there. I really loved Jakob Poeltl while he was here for a little bit, being a part of the bench mob
You know,
he was entertaining to watch, if nothing else. And then like, for some reason, just out of the top of my head, I like wrote down, like when I was writing down who I was thinking of for this, I wrote down Chuck Hayes, which is just like absolutely ridiculous. Because he's
I have this one memory of Chuck Hayes, and when he got traded to us, and I think he was injured at that point, right? He didn't play when he got, I remember like, I don't know, Sportsnet or TSN or something, they were interviewing Chuck Hayes, and then because he was in like some walking boot, he was just like, during the Raptors practice, he was just like, you know, throwing a ball on the hoop in like street clothes. And it was just so funny because what are you doing, man?
I think that was like part of the reason I loved him so much, was like his like inadvertent, like actual funniness. Like there was so much about him that you could just kind of like laugh at, whether it was him being like, it felt like he was like 6'4" playing center or something like that. And like, he would just take the most aggressive charges, or like he would look at taking the most aggressive charges. And he I don't even know if he averaged more than 2 points as a Raptor. Like I don't
maybe two rebounds. Yeah.
That's
about it.
Yeah. So like I had those guys as it, and like this one is going to be a controversial pick here.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going with Andrea Bargnani.
Oh, okay. I want to put some air horns.
So like to me, Andrea Bargnani was a more hyped up version of like Bruno Caboclo. And like, I love Bruno Caboclo because you like, because every year, like, you felt like, all right, here's going to be the next stepping stone for Andre Bargnani. All right, now next year is going to be the next stepping stone for Andre in that sense. And so I always thought like Andre Bargnani was kind of going to be like our saving grace, because I saw LeBron was like a first overall pick, and I was like, all right, like Andre Bargnani is going to be LeBron James. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, all right, why? You know what? He's just like taking longer to develop. He's still going to have a really good career, and he's still going to like be a really big part of the Raptors. But he was like, he was also like kind of fun off the court. And you'd like, he was a kind of in the same vein as Terrence Ross. Like when he got hot, he was actually like very entertaining to watch. He was never the most like athletic guy, so we wouldn't have like really nice dunks or anything, but he could bang like five or six threes. And in the time that he was playing in, right, like 06, 07 kind of thing, like those were, that's a lot of three pointers made. Like it's not like fair today, right?
And I give that to you. I feel like if Andrea Bargnani did play today when it was more of like a catch and shoot three or something like that, and the 7-footer European 3-point shooter, like you would like think of Andrea Bargnani on Dallas right now with
100%
KP, you know, Luca and Andrea. I could see that. I could see that being a really lethal combination.
Yeah. And like I don't know. And I just felt so weird like coming to the conclusion of Andrea Bargnani as one of my favorite Raptors players of all time. Like, I don't know if I'd have him in my top five, like favorite Raptors.
Yeah.
Like to date, I think I'd have a lot of these, like a lot of the players that I mentioned on my short list, probably above him. But since it like you said, like the center position for the Raptors is not exactly the best, like not the cream of the crop, I wouldn't
remember,
say.
Guys.
Yeah.
It's at H underscore circle. If you want to tag him, it's not me, man. Andrea Bargnani. Just make sure you tag him on that.
Yeah, man. And like, I just thought after like there was one season, I think it was his, you know, 25-year-old season, he averaged like 21.5 points a game almost. That I saw that and you know, he was shooting really well from three and from the field. I was like, this guy is really going to be that next thing. And then he never, ever, ever, ever turned into it. And I, like, to me, the thing, like I said with JV, like being so violently angry at him about it, to me, I was always like, I can't be that angry at Andrea Bargnani because look who he's playing with. You know what I mean? Like, look what he's playing with. This guy's a great player. Look what he's playing with. Which obviously was probably not the right way to think, but
it was the potential that killed us.
That's what it was.
First overall pick, and I don't think that was a very big or very good draft class. I think like who was drafted in that draft class, but like Andrea was, I remember when I even went to one of the games when Andrea was still on the team and people were like, yo, get this guy out of here. And then Dwayne Casey had to call a timeout in order to get him into the game, because if he was walking into the scores table coming into the game, people would boo him. People would boo him at home if he was going to come into the game. Like, I felt really, really bad for him. And I don't think he deserves a lot of the crap that he got, but it's not like he really helped the situation either. Like, he didn't really say anything about like wanting to stay here or I love the city or something like that. Like he didn't really back up with his play except for a couple of games where he like went hot and got a couple of rebounds. But like, I don't know, man. It's hard to put Andrea Bargnani up there. But again, it's everyone up to it's all up to you, man. I'm not going to discredit your list.
Yeah, and like I also think that one of the reasons I did enjoy him so much, like every friend group had someone that you kind of just shit on. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I've genuinely enjoyed like shitting on a player more than Andrea Bargnani. I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, okay. He's that scapegoat.
Exactly.
Of his top five.
Yeah. So but it's
you
like
got, you got like Tim and Sid talking or singing, I believe, in the side because of trading Bargnani.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
It can't get any worse than that.
Yeah. So, wow. that's how I rounded mine out. I know that's probably
I love it.
Not a great pick. I feel like people won't enjoy that one much.
Who cares? It's yours.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's go over ours. You want to give me your all favorite Raptors team of all time?
Sure thing. I got, for my first guard, I got Alvin Williams. Second guard, I got Debo. First forward, I got VC. Second forward, I got Chris Bosh, the OG dinosaur. And center position, I got Jonas Valanciunas.
Yes, that's I think you probably win in a game if going up against each other here. But for my guards, I got Kyle Lowry, I got Debo. For my forwards, I got Terrence Ross and Chris Bosh as well. And then for my center position, I've got Andrea Bargnani or what's his nickname? Il Mago. I think that's what it was.
Primo Pasta.
Yeah, Primo Pasta. So those are our lists. Once again, Jay, I do want to say thank you so much for coming on, especially in these really weird times, really awkward times. Man. As always, I'll do it one more time. Where can people find you and your podcast?
Sure thing. Again, if I picked Andrea Bargnani, so make sure you tag me at @H_surf. No, I'm kidding. You can find all of us at That's a Wrap Pod on Twitter. We got an Instagram account, so check us out there at That's a Wrap Podcast. And if you're looking for a podcast on other podcatchers like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Play, just search up Raptors HQ because that's our home base and that's where we put all of our stuff. So yeah, you can find us out there.
Yes, sir. So please give them a follow. They have great content. They, subscribe to their show. It is always good stuff. They always have good topics, good discussion. And as always, I'd like you guys to subscribe, rate, and review if you like this episode. If you like any of my other episodes, subscribe, rate, review. Leave me a message on Twitter. Send me a DM, whatever it is. At me if you didn't like any of my picks. At Jason if you didn't like any of his picks. Please don't make me the only one getting shit on. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening once again. As I do at the end of every single podcast, I like to say a little go Raptors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.